Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. I'm Rebecca Weiss. I'm joined with my husband, Jonathan Weiss. And before we get talking, I realized that when I watch other YouTube videos, podcast episodes, they always say in the beginning, like, comment, subscribe. And I never do that. And I realize I need to start doing that. So please,
3 years in.
I know. No, like 4 years in.
4 years in.
So please like, comment, subscribe. Better late than ever, because it really does help our channel.
And hit the notification bell. That way you get alerted.
I forgot about that one. But it really does help our channel. And, you know, we want to get the message out. We want more people watching this content because this podcast is to help edify people.
What else is it for? Why did you start this originally?
I started it originally out of a desire. Just I felt like God had shown me so many things and I just wanted to, like, everything that I had felt like God put on the inside of me, I wanted to start letting it out and start just sharing. And I feel like this, well, no, I don't feel, I know this podcast wouldn't have happened if you weren't behind me pushing me, because I was so timid in the beginning. And now, you know, we're three plus years in and I feel super comfortable now. And so I think my word of encouragement to anyone is just start. You don't have to have everything figured out in the beginning. You just need to start and you will figure it out along the way.
I'll never forget when I asked your dad for permission to ask you to marry me. he said, we talked for like 45 minutes, so there's a lot of things he said. Yeah. But one of the things he said is, you know, Rebecca has a calling to teach, and she's a great scholar of the Bible. And as her husband, you're going to need to help coach and guide and support her in that. And I remember it like really resonated with me at the time, because I was like, you know, I just loved you and we had such great chemistry and there were so many things values-wise and what we wanted out of life that aligned. But that was the first time that I really thought like it really resonated with me, and I was like, yeah, that's true. So I remember back when we started this originally, I felt like I was answering what he had asked me to do, you know, almost 7 years ago or seven years ago.
Makes me emotional.
Oh, no.
No, it's a good, no, it's not bad. It's good. And I feel like I want to say that you have done that and so much more. And thank you for how you've led me, our family. And also, I love hearing that now, because I would have never guessed that I would have lost my dad at the age of 31. And it was horrible. And I hate it. But I'm so thankful that I have those moments to remember. I wish that conversation had been recorded. I wish it could have been a fly on the wall.
You look back and you're like, I wish we could have recorded so many different moments, because it goes so fast. That's why, you know, with your mom and then my parents, we're trying to be so intentional, because you really never know how long people are here for. It's such a quick moment in time.
No, you really don't. I think sometimes we get comfortable with life and we just think this is the way things are going to be. And what I've learned is life changes. And nothing. The only thing that is constant is Jesus. And it talks about in Hebrews that we receive an unshakable kingdom. So the kingdom of God is constant. It's forever. He is forever. But this life and everything in this life is going to pass away. It's only people that will go on, those souls for eternity. And so, and what we do in this life, the things that matter, that goes on. But the stuff that we did that didn't matter, it just fades away.
Yeah, I think that's the thing that God's been really Julian to me the last 2 years over and over again, is what we do in this life is preparation for eternity. Mm-hmm. And this life, sometimes, you know, we have three kids. And so sometimes the days feel really long, but really overall, it's very fast, very quick. And even now when we reflect back just to like 7 years ago, how much time that's been, but how quickly it's gone by. Yeah. So
I saw this video of Boaz that I had in my phone.
And Boaz, our three-year-old.
Our three-year-old, and it was him like at one, and it was the cutest video ever. I need to show it to you. I kind of want to show it to you right now.
No, little kid.
No, you're going to cry.
I know. So
you don't want to cry on the podcast. I'll show it to you later.
Thanks for mentioning that though.
Well, they can edit it out. Never uncover your spouse. Edit that out. Edit that little segment out.
No, I'm an executive producer. Leave it all in.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I don't ever want to say anything to put you on the spot. Are you sure you're okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's a very sweet video, and I watched it and I was touched, and I was also kind of mad, because I was like, who said this little cutie could grow up?
I know.
But they do. And
even Asher, about to be six, And I'm throwing him around in the pool yesterday. And I'm like, geez, he's getting big. Like, I think I only have like maybe one or two more summers I'll be able to toss him around like that at this rate. I mean, he's getting so big.
I know, maybe one. He's big for his age. He's really tall. But yeah, I think that both you and I, our conviction has been we need to live our lives for eternity, not for the moment. And that's actually really hard. I think, like you said, when you have small kids and your life is full with all of these tasks and you have all these daily things that you have to, you know, that you're required to do and keep stewardship of. But one of my convictions lately has been, you know, the Bible says whatsoever is good, whatsoever is true, you know, think upon these things. The Bible also says to set your mind on heaven, on the things above.
Mm-hmm.
It says that in Colossians 3. And, you know, I've meditated on those verses for years, but it just hit me because we have a mentor who tells us where our focus is, that's where energy flows. So whatever you're focused on, that's what your energy is going to go into. And we have to steward even our energy. We have to steward our time, our tasks, even our energy that God gives us. And I realized that my mind was focused on things that I didn't need to be focused on. And I think there is a fight. There is a battle for our attention. And I think the enemy wants to fill up our minds with things that don't matter, with things that we don't need to be worried about, but he wants to kind of be like, nanny, nanny, boo, boo, like focus on this and try to like magnify our struggles. And our struggles in the eyes of God are nothing. We have victory in him and he's going to work everything out. And so I've had to learn the discipline of where my focus goes. And that is so hard. Like some days I'm better than others. Some days, I don't know, blame it on the ADHD. You know, some days I feel like I'm more like dialed in and then other days I feel like my mind can just wander and I'm really trying to make the most of my time and my energy. And I really think it's like, I don't need to be focused on my problems and my worries. I need to be focused on what God has me doing right now.
Yeah. And I would say it's a consistent or a constant surrender.
You're so good at it though.
I would say that
I feel like I'm
not
trying to learn. Teach me your ways. You just knock out your goals. I'm going to get there.
Yeah.
You heard it here, folks. I'm going to get, let's do this podcast in a year and then we can see if I
love that idea. Anything we can measure, that's how we improve.
Measurable goals. All right. I love that someone keeps coming in and out of the studio and I hear
Where do you want to be in a year from now? You want to have more intentionality around the discipline of.
I want to be disciplined in so many areas. I know everything that God's called me to do. And in my mind, sometimes you're like, oh, this is too much. But I'm like, actually, it's not too much. I need his grace. But I also need to steward my time well because I actually have the time to do this. But I have to cut out all the unnecessary, all the noise, all the fluff, the stuff that shouldn't be getting my time. And it
but
just
the noise isn't just social media or Netflix or the things of this world. It's not just that. The noise is also your thoughts. You have to take.
No, I think it's my thoughts.
In general, not just you, Rebecca, but you, anyone, me. We all have to take every thought captive because mm-hmm. if it's not bringing us closer to the Lord or closer to his kingdom, then it's not something that we need to be focused on. And so when you start to live through that framework, what I've found is he provides the peace that passes understanding because our thoughts can get away from us so quickly and you start running scenarios or what's, you know, this is happening in the world or this is happening in my life. And it can be overwhelming. And that's why we have to surrender daily, cast our cares upon him daily. And those things is really what, if you just continue to do that, he makes a way for us, you know. What's that verse in James that a righteous man's steps are ordered unto the Lord?
That's Psalms 37.
Okay.
That's the Psalms that God gave us.
Student. No, isn't it in James too?
In James, there's a verse that says, the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. That's the
no,
only thing I can think of.
That one that we had on the plaque in our room.
Oh, that's James. That's James 1.
And what does it say?
Let's look it up. But I want to talk about Psalms
37.
Because God gave us that.
Yeah, I was studying it again today.
It's so good. Yeah, so we did have James 1. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know when your faith is tested, your endurance has to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Is that what you're thinking of?
No, but that's great. That's great about the Bible. You can reference the wrong thing
and
pull it up and it's still good.
A righteous... This is hilarious. Are you thinking about a righteous man's steps are ordered by the Lord?
Yeah.
That's Psalms 37.
Well, thank you. And you know, one thing, if I ever get a little bit of a break in how much I carry, I'd love to go to Bible school.
I want to go back.
All right, let's do it.
Let's do it together. I want to study.
Where we at, when we're empty nesters, I guess, because that's the only time I could see
you. It's good.
20 years from now.
When I went to Bible school, because when I went, they had just launched the campus in DFW. And so in the beginning, we were so small that we actually, there were some, not all of the classes, but there were some classes that undergraduate, which what that's what I was, and graduate, which was master's, we were in the same classes together. And they just had a heavier workload. And a lot of them were like people our age with kids. And I look back on that and I'm like, how did you get your master's?
You're just single. Like,
yeah, I am like in shock. I'm like, how did y'all do this? I don't even know, but maybe one day.
But the point is that God does make a way for us when we stay aligned with Him. And that's the thing that I'm always encouraging you to do at home, you know, is this actually worth your attention or is it just a distraction?
Well, my personality type is, I tend to overthink things, and I think it's just really easy to think about things that matter, but they shouldn't be our focus.
Right.
You know,
and they even matter to the Lord.
Yeah, but it's like, stop wasting your time ruminating on it. Stop going it over and over and over.
Let Him be on the throne of your life.
Exactly. Lay it down.
Right.
And focus, because there's so much in front of me that I need to get done. And on the days that I have the discipline, the days where I feel like I've stewarded my family well, I've stewarded my our calling well, you know, did my work, all that kind of stuff. That's where I feel the best. But I've noticed in some days I'm better than others. And, you know, it's okay to rest, but I don't want to be idle in any way. I always want to maximize. I think that's how okay, in a year, I want to be more disciplined. I also want to take strength finders between now and then, because I think I might
those
have
two things.
I think just those two. Because I think I have maximizer, because I feel like when I don't maximize a situation, I do feel kind of odd. You know,
that's great. That could be a really awesome tool for you.
If that's gotta get focused.
Correct. If that's truly in you, because you could, it's a superpower. You know,
you've learned how to get focus.
Mm-hmm.
You got any tips?
You know, I learned something all the way back in business school that I've always carried through. It's a strange phrase called eat the frog.
Really?
What it means is I always make an end of the day what I need to finish, what I need to do the next day. So it's a list. It's very simple. Sometimes it's two things, sometimes it's 12. But eat the frog, the whole concept behind it is you do the hardest thing first. You don't push that off.
Wait.
Correct. You could, because that easily can slide to the next day. So that's a practical tip that has served me well for many years. And, you know, I encourage you or anyone to use that. It's just whatever is the biggest thing, the most difficult thing, the thing you don't want to do, do that first.
Because you have the most energy in the beginning of the day.
Your mind's freshest, you know. That sets the momentum and the tone for the rest of the day, because then what you'll end up doing is achieving that and then getting through the list a lot quicker.
How do you, as a husband, how do you allow the Lord to give you wisdom, and what is your framework on leading our family? Because you've been doing a really amazing job, and I feel like that's something that I don't feel like people really talk about.
On a scale of 1 to 10, what would you rate it?
10.
You're just saying that because you're—
No, I'm not. You're doing a really amazing job. I feel like a lot of people could learn a lot from you. So I have you across from me, so I'm going to ask you the questions.
It just comes down to, if I don't know the answer intuitively, seeking the Lord in prayer. So the whole thing, the intuition really is, it's the Holy Spirit. So it's basically not me, it's just me engaging with the Holy Spirit that's in me that we all get to receive once we believe in Jesus. And from there comes everything. From there comes the answers, the guidance, you know, the perspective. And even when I get out of line in the Lord's eyes, like if I overstep in a way or if I talk to you in a way that I shouldn't have, I often feel Him guiding me. So it's almost like a sensitivity that you know, you learn to cultivate over time that I believe all of us have access to. It's not unique to one individual.
No.
But it does take intentionality to lean into it.
Yep.
And sometimes it's the harder path, you know, than you'd like. Or you might see something in the carnal mind that you feel like this is the right way to address the situation. But when you engage the Lord in prayer or you're talking to the Holy Spirit through it, which I do those things, you get guided in the other direction. And then it's just a matter of listening and obeying. It's like we teach our kids when we talk, obey the first time.
You know? Yeah.
It's funny.
Obedience the first time.
You know, just like having kids is so funny because you really start to see what like God's perspective is on us as his children.
Yeah.
And like, because we both love our kids unconditionally and you would lay down your life for them and we serve them endlessly. And all of that love that pours out of us is 1,000 times what God has for each and every one of us. I mean, he laid down his son so that we could be in relationship with him.
Yeah, and I think knowing the Father's heart, I think when you know the heart of the Father, it's easier for you to trust him and surrender your life because you know that he wants what's best. And I think my other, you know, you said something so important, which is there has to be like a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. And, you know, you are a strong man, you're a leader, and yet you modeled this humility and this submissiveness to God. And I feel like that's something that I feel like that's a balance that I think would benefit a lot of men if they would understand that they can be the strong leader, but they have to be submitted to God's leading. How did you take the strength and the leadership, because I know the way you're wired, and bring yourself to a place of completely submitting to God?
A lot of hard lessons. I wish I had a really cool answer. It was like this epiphany early in my life and just, you know. But no, I think a lot of bumping into the wrong way of doing things over time and not getting offended or jaded or hardening of my heart to the Lord, but really feeling chastened by him and knowing, I knew early, within a few months after I came back to the Lord, I heard him call me into ministry, but he also had a place for me in business and he spoke this whole thing to me very clearly in Israel in 2012. So I never really knew exactly what it looked like, which I understand how he only gives us a piece of the picture or a piece of the puzzle at a time.
Because it's a walk of faith.
Exactly. Yeah. That's right. You walk by faith, not by sight.
You don't want to idolize the vision. You want to follow him.
Right. So I would say a lot of lessons learned, a lot of years.
A lot of years.
Doing
a lot of difficult situations.
Doing both, you know, ministry roles, business roles, and a lot of refinement, you know.
Yeah.
Going through difficult times doesn't always feel nice, but it's always preparation for some type of promotion, whatever it is. I'm not saying in the natural world, but spiritually as well. Like when you're in a season that feels like a desert or a valley, just know that God's preparing you for something.
Yeah.
And to lean into it and to ask him, what is he showing me in this time? What are you showing me in this time? How do you want me to respond to this? Because he will. He's not just letting us, like, you know, flail around. He actually is very intentional. He's outside of space and time. We are his sons and daughters. He has a plan, unique purpose for each and every one of us. And what he asks us to do is surrender to him our purpose and our calling and let him show us the way.
Yeah, that's so good. And I think too, one of the things, and another thing that I wanted to highlight is you said, like, when you speak to me in a way that maybe it wasn't the best way of saying something, which you really don't do that a lot. You really do, I feel like, carry yourself well. But if you do, you say the Holy Spirit will convict me. And this is something I had to learn because early on in our marriage, I would like nag about things and I would try to come to you and be like, I don't like this, or you know, whatever it is. And it would just make problems worse. And if I could tell wives anything, it's just don't correct your husbands. I don't feel like that's going to go over well, but I don't even know. I think you can talk about how you feel maybe, but I just really think the best thing you could do, and I mean, you can chime in. I think the best thing you can do is just forgive and just say like, God, speak to him. And, you know, it is important that you marry someone that is submitted to God and has a heart that's listening to the Lord, because that won't work if you have a husband that's hard-headed. I don't even know what to say in that situation. But
and I think earlier on, like my perspective, even to your point, was that we both do, you know, 50% to get to 100%. And what ends up happening when both partners, when partners are coming together and like, I'm doing half and you're doing half, what ends up happening is each one thinks the other one's not doing enough. And
oh
the fact
gosh.
Is that's true. And so what I think we've switched into in the years of marriage is both bringing 100%. And when both are striving to bring 100%, then you're filling the gaps with love. You're understanding that the other one's doing the best they can. And there, it becomes less about these the small little things and both coming to a place of like, we are a unit, we are a team, we are one, we're both giving it our all. And when you both have that perspective about one another, there's less room for the enemy to come in and sow division, because the devil hates marriage, hates family, hates unity, all of these things that God
he
loves
does.
And calls us to be. And so you just have to keep like that as a center point, keep touch points. You know, I always take things to a practical place, but like keep touch points within the marriage, especially when you start having children. You know, you and I go on a weekly date and it's not always long. Sometimes
yeah.
it's only 2 hours. And
yeah.
it's not always out to dinner. Sometimes it's to the gym or
yeah.
to the grocery store, but we take time away from kids and work and the business of life.
We
to
make time for each other.
To connect, because I think it's important, because in those moments, you can address some of the hardest things. And I think we had to learn through trial and error that you don't want to address bigger or hard family or, you know, marriage topics in the middle of a battlefield or in the middle of, you know, the business of life. You want to do that offline when you're able to really connect at like a heart level.
Yeah, and where you're like not stressed or you have other things trying to get your attention, you need to be like both focused on each other and in a calm state. And I think what you tapped on was so huge. I feel like for so many years, I was caught up in the 50-50%. I don't believe in that at all anymore. And I feel like if you want like resentment in your marriage, try to go.
Resentment, yeah, that
God,
would
be. I would always like fight over that. It was so stupid. And I wasn't even right, because really honestly, you were doing more. I just wasn't aware of how much you were doing. Let's just be honest. And I just think like this weird thing that's in like society today is like women are like, men, because a lot of households, men and women are both working. And so then the women are like, men need to do half of the childcare. And it's like, I just feel like you're just going to get yourself into like, you know, whatever it is. I think it's going to breed resentment. And I think you're 100% right. I think my mentality is like, you and I are on the same team and we both are on the same page of what our goals are. And I feel like whatever I can do to help him reach his goals, and I feel that support for me as well. And like, it's not about, it's my mentality has gone from focusing on you and as if he's doing enough, which you are, but it's shifted to what are my responsibilities and what do I need to do and how can I serve him? And if you can make that switch, it is going to totally change the tone and the condition in your marriage, because, and it's just going to help you, because at the end of the day, it's like, I'm not like responsible for you. Like, you're responsible for yourself. I'm responsible for myself. If I didn't do my part, that's my fault, you know? And it's not my job to micromanage you or nag you or ask you to do more. All I can do is pray for you as a wife. And I should be praying for you. That was something God even put on my heart recently, is I need to be like declaring blessings over you and scriptures over you. And
yes,
so,
Lord.
Yes, Lord. And, you know, I think the longer you walk with God and you do marriage, God packs more about how it works and how you can serve one another better and the roles. And I also think too, you and I really have found roles. Like, as our lives become more busy, it's like, okay, this is what you're doing. This is what I'm doing. And I do think it just brings more clarity because there's not like, I think anything, that's the hard part with a team is like when you're on your own, you're like, okay, well, all of this is mine. Well, if you're on a team, you're working together. So I think if you can clearly define you do this and I do that, it saves like you from confusion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of business 101. Every time we initiate a new project in my IT department, we always create a project charter. And project charter has, you know, the goal of the project, what's going to achieve. But right below, the next thing is the roster. And then on the roster is who's doing what, their roles and responsibilities. Because when all those things are defined, the whole team knows, okay, this is my part to play. This is my part to play. This is my part. This is what we're achieving. And this is the date that we're going to finish it by. And it's important to operate in that type of clarity because there's so much going on and everything is getting fast. It feels like everything is getting faster and coming quicker with technology and content and all of that. And it's just the noise is going to get louder and louder as we continue to walk this walk. So it's important to keep the main thing the main thing. The other thing I don't want people to feel is condemnation if they're not doing these things because God's given us multiple reset points. And what I love is there's a practical one that we can engage with every single week, which is Shabbat. On Shabbat, it's the husband blesses the wife, blesses the children, the wife blesses the husband. And this is my favorite weeks are the weeks that we actually do that. We're not perfect, of course, but the weeks that we take that time, put away the phones, worship the Lord together, and take a moment to actually bless one another in front of our kids too. It's really, to me, I believe it sets the tone for the home and for the marriage and for your family. And it's a good example to the kids to see those interactions. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, completely. And for me, well, okay, so for Shabbat, I would say I love Shabbat because I feel God's presence and I feel like it's a touch point to a, like welcoming God's presence into your home. And it's like sets the tone for your family, for your children, for your marriage. And so I completely agree. I think Shabbat is so important because of what we've made it. You know, it's a time really for us to be intentionally encountering the Lord and saying, God, we are yours and this home is yours, this family is yours. And then we bless one another and it really shifts the heart posture once again to serving one another.
And calling the other person as the Lord sees them instead of like, where
they could be.
Yeah, exactly. These are the things that this person or my partner or Rebecca, these are things that she didn't do well. No, instead of doing that, read the scripture, read the handbook that God gave us over Proverbs 31. These are all the things that she is. And you start seeing the person through the eyes of the Lord. And then what happens? They become those things.
Yep.
So that's why when you're like, I'm going to start declaring scripture and declarations over you, I'm like, yes, because I know the power that you carry as, you know, my partner. And if you, you know, when you, as you continue to do that, start doing that, it's going to really help.
Yeah. And I think there's such a power. Like Proverbs 31 for me, you know, a couple years ago was like this huge burden of like this like woman who's like insane. You know, it's like she gets up before dawn. Now I actually really do get up very early. you know, and she like does all these things, takes care of her family, takes care of her home. Then she does business. And I look at Proverbs 31 so differently now, which is like by the grace of God, these are all the things that I can do through him. I don't look at it as like a burden. I look at it as like a goal, like a vision, like it's something to aim forward and knowing like, okay, this is awesome. Look at all that a woman can do. You know, like a woman can be in the home and do business. I love that about Proverbs 31. I love that she's, you know, capable and is accomplishing all these different things. And I don't look at it, I see it a joy in it now, you know, and not a burden in it. I love it. And when you declare it over me, it's like, yeah, my husband sees this in me too. You know, and I just think that's the power of belief and the power of identity. And God has really downloaded to me so much identity lately. And there's a real power shift when you begin to see yourself the way God sees you. It's like you carry yourself different. And I really think when you start to believe like, okay, this is possible with God, and you start pushing off your limiting beliefs, it's a huge game changer. And God's really been doing that in me. And when I used to get overwhelmed, I used to with situations and or tasks, I would be like, I can't do this, you know? And now I just take a deep breath and I'm like, I can do this because God's with me, you know? And I'm just going to one step at a time. But when you even shift your thinking to, okay, I can do this. And I mean, I had a conversation with you about that, but the Holy Spirit was convicting me on my thought life. And he was like, you have a lot of negative thought patterns. And Rebecca, your thoughts help shape your reality. And we need to have discipline in our minds. And you need to start believing my word and believing the best, because this is the way I see things. And I remember sharing it with you. And I was like, do you think this is accurate? And you were like, 100%. But all that being said, I realized that a lot of my negative thought patterns were actually coming from a place of like fear. And we cannot be people of fear. We have to be people of faith, you know? And so I think when you really take the time and be like, okay, well, where is this coming from? A lot of people, their negative thoughts are rooted in past trauma or past fears or past pain. And you have to deal with that, because we're not living from a place of fear. We're living from a place of hope and trust in God. And when we throw off our limiting beliefs and realize, God, with you, anything is possible, it will change how you handle situations. It will change how you carry yourself. It will change even what you accomplish, because you realize so much more is capable than what you think. But you can't be limited in your mind.
Well, I know that we have to wrap up here.
Do we?
Yeah. But I want to say in the comments,
we do.
Let us know what you want to hear Rebecca teach about in the coming weeks and months, because we're going to be creating more teaching content. I'd love to hear from audience what are subjects or topics that they like to hear you share on.
Oh, I love that. Things that I can teach on, and maybe even like if they have like a guest or someone they want to recommend, comment that down below too, because we're always trying to find new people as well. And I guess we do have to wrap. So thanks for doing this podcast with me.
Of course.
And thank you for listening to the Rebecca Weiss podcast.